Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It is a good day on many levels, but one of them, Karen Rose is back with us today. Don't tell me prayer don't work.
Amen.
We're glad that she is and Rusty are back home. Glad to have y'all back. Several announcements we'll make as we get started on Easter Sunday morning. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information that you choose, check the appropriate boxes, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We would appreciate that. Once it gets to that last person, once you are done, if you could send it back to where it got started today, we do ask that first person, when you are done with, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A couple of announcements. We are having children's time today, so all of our children come right down here for just a couple of minutes with me. And we will during the children's time, that is right after the first hymn. Make note of that. Also, have our beautiful Easter lilies there behind us, and we appreciate all those who made that possible and just beautifying the sanctuary today. Reminder about a schedule for this week. It is spring break for Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, and so there are no Sunday evening activities or Wednesday evening activities this week, so make note of that. Also, no grace notes this week, so just make note of that schedule change as well. I think that is all. There are a calendar of events there on the back we want you to make note of. Okay, we want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for being a part of worship today. You gave us information just a moment ago on the pew pad, and we are certainly thankful for that. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a little bit of the history, the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. If you ever wondered if you were worthy, if you ever questioned what purpose do you serve, we are here to tell you, because of the cross and the empty grave, God counted you worthy. This morning, we have much to worship, much to be thankful for. Christ gave us his all. Shouldn't we give back the same? This morning, Easter, the day that defines every day the rest of the year, we worship with everything that we have because he gave everything he had. You are worthy for that sacrifice. And because of that sacrifice, he is worthy of our worship for all eternity. Let us prepare for worship. We have a responsive reading in your bulletin as we prepare for worship. We invite you from your pew where you're seated to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us as his own.
He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Will you pray with me? God, on this day, the darkness has passed away, and the light of your love has shone forth to all the corners of this earth. Creation has testified from the beginning of time that you are Lord and Creator. And Jesus' death on the cross tells us you are Lord and Savior, Redeemer, Giver of life. And Father, we come to worship you through music, through spoken word, through prayer, through our lives. Father, be in this place, we pray. Remind us in a powerful way why we are here and why the very lives that we have been given are gifts, not to be squandered or wasted, but to be lived every day in the knowledge of the empty grave. It gives us purpose, it gives us meaning, and it gives us a reason to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we invite you to hear and to see us worship you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. The ministry of God's word comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I'll be reading out the New International Version. There are pew pads there in front of you if you do not have your Bible with you. John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Break forth
All the kids, come on down. Invite all the kids, come on down. I'm not promising any candy, but there may be some. All right. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Oh, good, 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 good. So do you want candy? Let's try it again. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Oh, okay, I thought you might want candy. Now, I want to tell the Easter story really fast, okay? But you have to listen. And I'm going to do it through a book that doesn't have any words in it. Have you ever seen a book without any words? A picture book? What about not even pictures? Color book. These colors tell the whole story of Easter. Are you ready? Are you listening? Black. Miss Rebecca, you see these colors up here? This color right here, black. Black, it kind of talks about, it reminds me of all the stuff that I mess up. The things that I say, the things that I do that go against what God wants, reminds me of black. Me dark, I'm embarrassed by those things that I do or don't do. What's this next color? Red. You know what? Who took the punishment for all those things I messed up? Who did?
Jesus.
Didn't he? He bled. That's why red is really important. But guess what that does? All that stuff in my life that I've messed up, Jesus' blood, taking all that punishment, it makes me white as snow. Clean. Everything gone. Done. Then guess what happens? What is this color? Blue. Blue. What happens up there when people go in the water? They get baptized with the water. Just like Jesus got baptized, the blue reminds me of when I was baptized, showing everybody around that I believed in Jesus and He washed all my sins away. Then what's next? Green. When you think of green, what do you think of? Grass. Grass grows. It gets, especially like during the spring, it comes back up. Everybody's starting to cut the grass again because it's all. You are growing, you and I, when we believe in Jesus and we're baptized, we grow just like the grass to become more like Jesus. And then yellow. The sun, heaven, when we do all of these things, it reminds you and me, we were meant to live with Jesus forever. That's why the empty grave, you know, the stone was rolled away. Was Jesus in there? No. He was living again. He was living again, just like you and I. So, did this book tell the whole story of Easter? Sin. Jesus paid the price. He took our punishment. He makes us clean. He baptizes us. We are made new and we grow in Him to live with Him forever. That is the story of Easter. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of Easter. That we have messed up and that's why Jesus took the punishment for us. He loves us and He wants to give us a new life to make us white as snow, to baptize us, and to grow us to become more like Jesus, and to give us a place with Him both now and forever. That is what Easter is about. We like getting candy and other things that people provide us with, but God, you have given us new life. And that's what Easter really is about. Help us to remember that in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.
I'll give you your hand.
What a wonderful way to hear about the story of our Savior. And we're going to hear a little bit more about our wonderful Jesus as I read from Acts 10. 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and of the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Would you join me in a time of prayer? O holy God, for this day of celebration, we give you thanks. As we thank you with all of our hearts for coming to this earth in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Words are not adequate to express our thankfulness, our deep gratitude for the greatest gift that's ever been offered, the gift of your Son. We thank you, precious Savior, for being willing to stay the course, to carry out the mission for which you were sent. In spite of the humiliation, the beatings, the betrayals and deceptions, the extreme physical agony, which serves as a symbol for that deeper agony that you experienced inside as you carried the burden of our sins inside of yourself, so that we could be set free from sin and from death. And because you were willing to stay the course, precious Lord, therefore we are set free from the fear of death into the realization that you have a special place for each of us awaiting when we leave this earth. But oh, that's not all. Oh, precious Savior, we thank you that you have provided abundant life here on earth. Not that every wish we wish would come true, but instead that you would provide for us everything we need to love each other, to love you, and to live a fulfilling life here on this earth, giving us direction and guidance and wisdom and strength and hope. This is a day of hope because you have risen, precious Savior. Remind us of the challenge that we're given even today, that we are to be the lights to a dark and falling world, to a world that's hungry for truth. Father, use us as your instruments. Move us out of the way so that you can shine and radiate through us as we leave this place and throughout our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. He is risen. What a triumphant thing that is to be able to proclaim. On this Easter morning, I'm reminded of what is one of the better known scripture verses, one of my favorite ever since I was this big, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much that he gave his only Son that we might have the opportunity for salvation. What a gift. Let us give thanks. Father, we love you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. What an awesome, incredible gift it is. It's easy for us to say Jesus died for our sins, but when we stop to truly consider the enormity of the sacrifice that was made for us, we are both humbled and awed in wonder. Sending your Son, whom you love so much, to deliver your message to us and allowing him to suffer and die on the cross for our sins so that we may have everlasting life is mind-boggling. You love us so much that you would make that sacrifice, sacrificial gift, so that we have the opportunity to spend eternity with you through your love and grace. That is a gift we could never earn, but is ours for the asking, simply by believing in you and accepting your will for us. Give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to accept your gift and our eternal reward. We ask that you bless this church and its congregation. We are thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country, guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. Amen. Thank you.
became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
South way in case I prowl over here and knock it down. Beautiful. Wow. Music says things that we can't say with spoken words, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. We found that out Friday night. Our channel's leading us in a beautiful Tenebrae service. If you missed it, oh my goodness. I would say you just completely missed it, but there are DVDs available, so you can see it, and it was a wonderful time of worship. Jeff read a passage of scripture a few minutes ago from John chapter 20, which is the account that John gives of what happened on that Easter Sunday morning, on that resurrection Sunday. And we know from scripture that Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. She shows up there, and then she goes and she tells two other disciples, Simon Peter and the one Jesus loved. Now, we give John a hard time about that, you know, because we assume that because he wrote the gospel that he's referring to himself as the one Jesus loved. But before you give him a hard time, remember, he was there at the cross. Where were the others? Others, theologians, believe that he refers to himself as the one Jesus loved and the other disciple because he does not feel worthy to write his own name. I don't know. That's a theory. But we do know from Scripture that Simon Peter and presumably John and Mary Magdalene, and they show up. Those are the ones that show up at the tomb, but none of them understands the significance of what they witness. And after Mary sees the angel in the tomb, she sees Jesus himself. She doesn't recognize him at first. And it's not until Jesus calls her by her name. There's power in speaking a name. She recognizes who he is when he calls her by name. And when she sees and recognizes him, she thinks, hey, you said this might happen, and now that you're back, we can kind of get the whole gang back together again. And things will kind of go on just like they were before all of this tragic stuff happened. We'll just pick up right where we left off. But Jesus said, don't hold on to me. I've not yet gone to the Father. Don't hold on to me. And instead, he commands Mary, go and prepare the disciples because I'll be coming to you and I'll be giving you the Spirit. Beautiful story. But let's back up just a little bit. As they approach the tomb, the disciples, first Mary, then the other two, they are approaching, no doubt, in fear, in darkness, probably depression, over what has happened. They're grieving their crucified Lord, and they're probably afraid. And Mary says, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. A bit of frustration, aggravation, maybe even fear in that statement. And I thought as I read that, we experience pain and grief and death in this world. There's plenty of suffering. You can turn on the TV, 6 o'clock news, and see pain and suffering. Some of you don't even have to do that. You've probably experienced the loss of a loved one this year, this month, this week. I don't know, maybe even you're experiencing that kind of pain and grief today. We all know pain in our lives. It's part of the human experience. Yet the disciples saw something surprising to them. It broke into their pain and suffering. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus himself. She was the first apostolic witness of the resurrected Lord, and she saw that Jesus had passed into a different reality. Something new was up. Something new was taking place here. And for all that Jesus had taught while he was walking in their midst, you know, as we've gone through the way, we've talked about the fact that he was there. He walked in their sandals. He experienced what we experience. Something new in all of this, though. He had healed those who were pushed aside by other people. Remember, as we talked about the fact that his healing restored the people, not only physically, emotionally, spiritually, but socially, restored them back to community with their people. He did that. He took on the religious leaders of the day. And he showed they had a very inadequate view of the kingdom of God and what it meant to have a relationship with God. He fed the masses and he taught them, remember, the Sermon on the Mount. He taught them the foundation that we should build our house, our lives upon, so that when the storms come, and surely the storms will come, when the storms come, we can face them knowing trials, storms, suffering, we're firm and secure founded on God's word and our relationship with him. Suffering is real. Jesus understood that. Suffering is real, whether it's caused by our overt decision, whether it's caused by cowardice or disease or the power of nature, and yet death comes ultimately to all of us. But aren't you glad that the story doesn't end on Friday night? As beautiful as the music was, the reality was that we knew, even as we're listening to the story unfold on Friday night, we knew that Sunday morning was coming. And that was hope. That was hope. This good news affects far more than our individual lives, though. The hope brought into the world by the resurrection touches our whole world. It touches the very cosmos itself. Because God's power is real power. Power over evil. Power for good. It's the power that tossed a stone weighing thousands of pounds to the side and caused battle-tested soldiers to run away screaming like little girls. You know, I know I've asked this before, but have you ever wondered why the stone was rolled away? Why was the stone rolled away? Was it so that Jesus could get out? You see this playing out. Guys, I've risen from the dead, but I need help with the stone. Could you give me a boost out there? I mean, that's ludicrous. No. It was moved so that we could see in. So that we could see that he had done exactly what he said he would do. He was risen from the dead. We can see in. And with those same eyes, we can see in our own lives, even at the struggle, even at the point of our pain. And we can see that through Easter eyes. It's as if we were colorblind before. And now, with Easter eyes, we can see the new life that Christ offers to us. We can see our lives with a new perspective. We can build on a new foundation. Even though the storms and buffeting of life begin anew, we will be rooted and grounded in love, as the Apostle Paul said. So when we live our lives in that way, when we live our lives founded solidly on the hope provided by this Easter story, we are prepared for even the hurricanes. Because as sure as they hit the East Coast, they'll hit our lives too. So what did the disciples do? That's a great story, and we understand the impact of it. What did they do right after this? Well, Scripture tells us she went and she told. After what she experienced, she went and she told. She told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." In the same way, we are called to do the same thing. Go and tell. We have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. No matter what it says in the newspapers or on television, no matter what our very real concerns about our nation and our world and our community and our jobs and our families, no matter all of that, we can proclaim to other people, I have seen the Lord. Polly Barian Barons wrote a little poem entitled A Secret. And in that poem, she says a mouthful in three words. She says, God means good. God means good. God means good says to us that God's power triumphs over evil and death. It means that none of the realities of this life, which weighs so heavily upon us, will ultimately prevail. It's a secret because we can't touch it or grasp it. Jesus told Mary, don't hold on to me. Which leads us to kind of the second thing. First, Mary said, I've seen the Lord. Second, proclaiming the resurrection does not mean that we must marshal scientific data to prove anything. This is a secret. It's a secret of faith. We can't see or taste or touch Jesus, but we can see him with our Easter eyes. With the eyes of faith. And faith, make no mistake, faith can be every bit as concrete in its impact on our lives as anything that can be measured or weighed or put in the bank. The secret is one that must be told. This is one secret that you're supposed to tell. We're supposed to proclaim it, shout it, celebrate it, even as we do on this Easter Sunday morning. We tell people, I have seen the Lord, he is risen, and this is what he has done in my life. And as we receive this kind of hope, we share it. We share it with others in the world that increasingly, trust me, needs hope. Let's tell the secret. And let's tell it as we make it real in our own lives, as we live as Easter people. Some things we shouldn't have to tell people. They ought to be able to discern it by watching us, by watching our expression, by watching our reaction to life's circumstances. Because the Easter story is not one that we should read once a year and then put on a shelf. The Easter story should be lived out in our lives as we affirm the greatest gift that God ever gave, new life in Jesus Christ. He received it, new life. He received it and he offered it to us. He says, because I live, you will live also. Through this story in our lives, as we live it out in the face of the very worst that life can offer, we can affirm God is good. Let me challenge each one of you, whether you're here every week or once a year, doesn't matter. Commit yourself to the one whose good news we proclaim, to Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord. Make this story your story. Let it renew your life. Share the story as did Mary and Peter and the unnamed disciple. Maybe it says unnamed disciple because we're supposed to fill in our name there. I have seen the Lord, said Mary. Today in this place, so have we. Because through our Easter eyes, Christ transforms our lives. He transforms our world despite the sin and the suffering, despite our own failures. This new life offers us the power of hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, precious Father, words of thanks seem completely inadequate. Because of what you've done, you have given us a way to approach you, a God who is perfect without sin. Through the death of your Son and his resurrection, we are able to come to you and to thank you and to praise you, ask for your help. God, we thank you for that precious, awesome gift. For the gift of hope, for the gift of life, through the gift of your power so that we can live a life that's pleasing to you. For all of these things, we give you thanks. We give you glory. And we pray that as we live out our lives that others would truly see what an awesome God we serve. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that is the invitation to you this morning, to receive him. I'll be here in the front. We're going to stand in just a moment singing, I think, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And as a believer, we do that with hope and with promise. But if you're not yet a believer, this is your day. I'll be here. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, lead you to a relationship with Christ. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I really haven't been living like it and I want to recommit myself, certainly you can do that where you are, but I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you if you'd like that as well. And if you'd like to be a member of this church, it's a wonderful congregation of people. It truly is. And there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to speak with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, don't put it off. Make that this morning. Let's stand and sing together. benediction, the response, I encourage you, greet one another, meet those who are guests, family members who are in town for this Easter Sunday morning. Encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go now, help us to live as Easter people. People celebrating with our very lives the resurrection and the hope and the power that is exhibited in that resurrection. Father, we know that Christ is alive. Father, help us to proclaim that truth in word and deed. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.